Palantir's Palantir refuses to come unstuck.
Large pad leaves locals livid.
Too hot, too messy. Update, week 21.
Mr. Washy does the dirty.
Beaver, to save mankind from hairy situation.
Cleaning up the streets. Be careful where you park.
In the Hutton BGS, Wolf 25 goes tits up in a big bust.
Correspondents have been corresponding.
The illustrious Commander Palantir became entangled in a tricky situation at Eddie Lee Wise's boutique on the parade at Hutton Orbital earlier today. He tried on a new helmet model in preparation for his much vaunted return to space adventuring after a hiatus where he worked as a cook in a burger hauler. Our intrepid hero struggled to get the aforementioned helmet onto his dome until he finally had to be assisted by one of Mr. Wise's sons and his daughters and a mallet. Once on, he complained that it was a bit snug, despite the attending staff all commenting on how well it suited him. He declined Mr. Wise Jr.'s suggestion that he wear it out of the shop, and instead asked if his helmet could be removed due to the incredible pressure on his skull, and as his nose was now blocking the view from his left eye. There followed an impassioned and sustained attempt to remove the offending item of head joy from Palantir's Palantir, with the Wise brothers pulling and the hapless commander's legs, while the Wise sisters focused on his helmet. In the end, not even Mr. Wise Sr.'s attempts to loosen it up with a blowtorch could shift the crushing head protector, and only succeeded in singeing the prisoner's ostentatious ear hair, filling the limited space inside it with a smell of burning hair, which in turn led to a sneezing fit. Finally, after a trip to the infirmary, Nurse Wyeth was able to use medical-grade butter to remove Palantir from his confinement to the accompaniment of a loud popping noise and three pints of sinus fluid splashing onto the infirmary floor. Commander Palantir has since been diagnosed with having a massive heat, described by Nurse Wyeth as looking like a snowball on a toothpick. He has also been directed to buy future head coverings from the Big and Pretty section.
The Brewer Corporation have submitted a controversial planning request today for Hutton authorities to add a large pad to the station. A spokesperson for Brewer said, "Although the medium pad was large enough for us to park a Python on, it just does not have the facilities to support the larger ships needed to keep up with the demand for tritium. It makes sense to add just one large pad to the orbital and, oh, and an executive lounge and a gift shop, obviously. Maybe some fancier shops, and would it kill you to build a decent restaurant in this place?" Since the introduction of fleet carriers, the demand for tritium has skyrocketed. Refinery stations have been overrun by demands for the new wonder fuel, and this heralds a move by Brewer to streamline the extraction and supply. Brewer Corporation are not without controversy. The fleet carrier manufacturers initially sold their megaships to commanders coated in paint, which did not survive jumps through witch space, resulting in paint crews having to accompany early models everywhere and providing brightly coloured retrieval wallets instead of escape pods to seal themselves inside in the event of a crash. These later turned out to be badly disguised body bags. Hutton locals have begun a sit-in protest outside of the Brewer Corporation office in an effort to force the company to reconsider their plans amid fears that the large pad would change the fundamental cheerful grottiness which defines the station and its inhabitants. One yokel said, "If they add a large pad and put a Type 9 on it, then the station will tip over and walk straight down in one end." Another commented,
We don't like incomers. They have strange ways.
A spokesman for Red Planet Taxi Service, a budget travel company based on the station, was more optimistic, saying, "That's a great idea. If we could hog a large landing pad with one of our haulers, it would make our drivers feel really good about themselves. It'd be great advertising for the company. Bring it on." He then ran off, pursued by locals with pitchforks and flaming torches. And this reporter's thought, get your tritium somewhere else. It's bound to be nicer and you're less likely to get food poisoning or gangrene. Also, why do they have pitchforks on a space station?
Too hot, too messy has been going for 21 weeks. Can you believe it? Not, but total deliveries are sitting at 45,500 mugs and gin. We had a good week last week, but clearly some have overdone it on the Lavian brandy. Sprouts and mince pies are nodding off in the chair, so we're down by a third. Remember, doing sprout farts in your armchair and blaming it on the dog might be fun, but it's no cure for mugs. Every mug counts, and also, you may just win a real mug by taking part. What do you get from Tharg, eh? Other than the lingering burning smell and maybe a trip to the rebuy agent. Five new commanders have joined the effort this week, taking the number to 269 participants. Two new squadrons are represented, increasing the number taking part to 85. And of course, more are always welcome. Naturally, Hutton are blazing their own mug fire across the bowl, but with less green goo and fire than Thar, collectively delivering over 19,000 seasonal mug and gin gift sets. The Winged Hussars are still in second with almost 2,300 muggings, and the Paladins are holding third with over 1,500. The Buckyball Racing Club have moved up to fourth with almost 1,300 muggings, thanks to Shay Blackwood's seasonal spurt. Yes, we see you in the chat. That dull guy in the green Christmas combat sweater is still out in front with almost 3,900 mugs and gin delivered. Some say that he's been doing lots of ground combat this week in Al-Mazra. Waller 81 is in second place with over 3,300, but he's been caught by Nem, we see in the chat also, pushing 3,200 in third. As predicted last week, Shay Blackwood smashed down the door of the 1,000 Club to the cry of, FBI, open up! And the club now has its eighth member. How do we know all this? Because it's tracked by the marvel that is the Hutton Helper and updated live on the Too Hot Too Messy event page at hot.forthemug.com/hotmess2. Apart from the glory alone, there is an additional incentive in the form of the chance to win a real world handle the right way up Velcro-free mods for renting Hutton mug. Any commander that delivers 10 mugs and gin in a week will be entered into that week's draw to win a real Hutton mug. Unless, of course, you already have one, in which case you'll already have been immunised against mods. 20 commanders have accomplished this so far, so you can see a little golden mug next to their names in the top commander's table. And keep listening for this week's winner to be announced in the banter bit after the news. If you had delivered 10 mugs and gin in a week, you'd have racked up 210 next to your commander name. And if you haven't, pull your finger out of whichever orifice it is blocking and jump to it. How do I join in the fun, I hear you ask? First, well, you need to sign up by downloading the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com/download. And your mug and gin deliveries will be automatically registered for you by Amazon. No, by Entarius Fusion's genetically altered bionic hamsters.
Local oaf Cecil B. Trumpington has had to invest in a new Mr. Washy laundry robot after leaving a hip flask, thankfully empty, inside one of his tweed jackets. It is believed that the foreign object became entangled in Mr. Washy's machinery, causing the laundry bot to strip a bearing and send tiny metal balls ricocheting into each other, delicate parts of its workings. In turn, Mr. Washy, famous for his trademark catchphrase, "I am Mr. Washy, give me your socks," developed a severe case of indigestion and deposited the whole mess on the floor of Cecil's apartment. BogBot Incorporated, who provide a range of household machines to deal with the more mundane or unsavoury household tasks, have provided a replacement unit complete with Galweb connection. They did not comment on why a Mr. Washy would need advanced network capabilities other than to confirm that it was only allowed to use this for good things. They have compensated Mr. Trumpington for loss of one vintage tweed jacket with a selection of miniatures sewn into the lining, a pair of rare polonium-infused glow-in-the-dark socks, a Union Jack hanky, two cravats and a sequined thong stroke eye patch from a particularly racy evening at Wonders. As it waddled its way out to the truck, the old Mr. Washy was heard to mutter, "I did it on purpose. I couldn't face another pair of his pants."
And next, news from the natural world. Naturalists, not naturists because that would change the entire tone of this article, are campaigning for the return of a much-loved and necessary part of Earth's biodiversity. Beaver. Long extinct on Earth, for centuries the public have complained that the absence of beaver on parts of old Earth where it once was abundant is a travesty that should be addressed. Whilst the night shift, many of whom are American heritage, have plenty of beaver on their adopted planets. The day shift, hailing from what's left of the United Kingdom, don't have any. With rising sea levels, climate change, yes, in 3308, we have all accepted that it was a bad idea and meant places like London sunk under the waves and Birmingham had to be renamed Birmingham-on-Sea. Wild weather patterns and flash floods are a problem. And the easiest solution is, well, in this case, it's not technology. It's beaver. Beavers love messing about with and munching on wood, which of course helps with rivers and flooding. Not sure what you thought we meant, but wash your brain out with soap. And dead meat, keep your hands where we can see them. Plus, just about everyone likes a little beaver. Or wood. Or both. Anyway, we support this important natural way to stop much of the rest of the planet Earth turning into Venice, thus pushing the prices up in all of the restaurants and empowering anyone with a boat, a long stick and a stripy top to try and sleep with their passengers and charge a fortune for the privilege.
The authorities have been getting tougher on crime, and the latest misdemeanor to have a harsher penalty is illegal parking. If you leave your SUV parked in the wrong place in a settlement, the chances are that when you return, you won't find a little plastic bag under the wipers with a note from one of those patrols that just love to scan you five times on the same street and whisper, "Halt!" in a tiny voice in the hopes that you won't hear them and they get an excuse to use their Class 5 genital compensator to blast you. No, you won't find something on the windscreen. You'll more likely find that your windscreen is on various buildings and crates close to where you'd parked, along with bits of engine, items from your glove box, and one wheel spinning forlornly. It's the convention. This is advice that Commander Yellow Hauler would have appreciated the other day when he left his SRV on what he thought was a safe street, in what looked like a deserted settlement. He was just minding his own business, quietly looting, being a picker-up of unconsidered trifles, when there was the faintest of electronic hums. A brief zap, followed by an all-too-brief lighting up of the sky as his SRV added to the entropy of the universe by rearranging its molecules over half the base. Luckily, Yellow Hauler was inside a building, so he didn't get instant sunburn. And it does mean that he didn't actually get to see the incident. But our money is on the new traffic warden skimmers that have become the bane of so many. Well, we can't call them pilots if they're on foot, so let's just say, if they're in the Empire, they're called Imperial Walkers. The Flying Wardens, which can easily be distinguished by the yellow band around the top and the look of inner sadism, have been known to hide around the corner just waiting for walkers to get out of sight before blowing up their transport. They do have the choice of calling for transport to take your SRV to the nearest compound, but they reckon that blowing them up involves less paperwork. Thanks to Apex Taxis, Yellow Hauler was able to fly back to his ship with no damage to anything but his self-confidence and his bank balance. But let this be a lesson to those of you who wish to leave your SRVs with one wheel on the curb, or blocking the driveway out of the landing pad, that it always helps to keep a spare power core in your back pocket, ready just in case you need to keep the power on, and just in case the scavengers are pleased to see you. Of course, it could have been the scavengers, but we don't think they'd do anything like that.
Things in Hutton space have settled to a more normal state since the start of Tharg Boys on the Pissed Buster Tentacle Buster Bubble Binge. You Know Where is still not in the bottom three. We have a large bust to deal with, and our neighbour from hell is at it again in Avik. More on those stories coming up. Poor little Avik is this week's low system on the pole, struggling on 31, and reeling from two wars in 2 weeks, is finding itself besieged by a serious corporation yet again for the third week in a row. No sooner have they fought off the minions of the rich bloke with the quiff and the nice exploration bonus than they're back at it again just one day after cooldown. Some folks just don't seem to get the message and must love losing. And they're currently one down in this latest war. Second lowest system on the poll this week is Epsilon Indy on 33%, and with no conflicts in progress or pending, now is an excellent time to boost our most popular system. A point above Indy is Ross 671 on 34. Our war is in progress, but the system is also in boom, so we should see an improvement in the week. It's become increasingly odd each week to say why Barnard's Star isn't our worst system, but it is fourth from worst on 35, recovering from the infrastructure failure afflicting it last week. Well done to those truckers who shipped in stuff to make a redonkulous profit. Bravissimo to the truckers that shipped in food supplies to bonkers in Wolf 25. It cured the famine but has left the system with a very large bust. Lend a hand, or even two, to boost the system and lift the bust. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have only four systems above 60%. Snuggles is crying into his mulled wine as we expanded into La Rochelle. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, boost Epsilon Indy and boost Wolf 25 to relieve the bust. If you want to shoot something, fight off Sirius in Avik. Again.
This week we have two articles from our correspondents. Firstly, from HS5060. Good evening, truckers. HS5060 reporting in with this week's update from the Thargoid War. Humanity has much to celebrate as Hackswing alongside what is being called the Oyo Battle Group defended Muchihiks, Liung Huang and Hip 8525. Also good news, Mu Dujis is the first system in this war to be fully restored, meaning that we have taken a major step in containing the Thargoid maelstroms. Special commendations to Commander Quadrivium Resonance for racking up 610 kills this week, and to Commander Sarsura, who achieved 425 kills. Hackswing salutes you both for such incredible numbers and the effort you put in to defend humanity. Adding to the good news, truckers, both galactic community goals were completed, bringing the new gimbaled enhanced Axe multi-cannon to production for us to pew-pew the Thargoids even better. Your orders for this week, Hackswing, will be to defend Hull, Huil, HIP 11111, and Yamako near the Oya Maelstrom alongside Cannon Lab 69. Alongside Cannon Lab 69 and our allies in the battle group. Combat and evac pilots will be needed to defend these systems. Good luck out there, truckers, and see you on the front lines. Follow Morg. And W. Togau is proud to present What an Arse, reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. And that's a little bit late, but never mind. 'Twas the night before Christmas, when all through the fleet, all the motors were humming, an enemy to greet. The weapons retracted, the peacefulness rare, in hopes that the Argoids would shortly be there. The bridge crew were nestled all snug in their seats, while twinkles of far stars danced in their heads. And Tog in his vet and I in my chief had just settled our brains for a long winter's grief. When out in the black there arose such a roar, I sprang from the cabin and flew across the floor. Away to the cockpit I flew like a flash, strapped on my harness and ready to dash. The moon on the breast of the hard frozen ice gave the lustre of midday to objects not nice. When what to my wondering eye should appear but a monstrous interceptor with 8 arms of fear. With a little old swarm so lively and fast, I knew in a moment it might be my last. More rapid than eagles, his swarm on there came, and he roared and bellowed and doused us with flame. Now Tog, now Cappy, now Siraka and Rhino, on Exile, on Stilesy, on Dozian, on Ozzy, to the top of the planet, to the top of the dock, now dash away, dash away, dash away, flock. As dry leaves before the wild hurricane fly, when swarm meets with an obstacle, they mount to the sky. Set up in the dock top, the Tharg swarm there flew, with the scouts full of caustic, and Cyclops went too. And then in a twinkling I heard on the comms the banging and plosions of foul caustic bombs. As I piled in my thrust and was turning around, though the black mad Cyclops came with a bound. He was dressed all in caustic from one arm to t'other, and his hull was all tarnished with shot tracks and spatter. A roll of his hull and a fierce battle roar soon gave us to know we must be ready for more. It spoke not a word, but went straight to its work, and fired all its missiles, then turned with a jerk, and laying our aim just up from its beak, and giving a nod, our assault it did peak. It sprung to advance, to its swarm gave a roar, and our ghost cannon spoke to show beast the door. As it died in a blaze of caustic, it moaned, ere fading from sight, "We say happy Christmas to all, and to all a good night."